has a very important role to play for the safety of the mariner at sea.
As we know that South Africa's economy is largely dependent upon import and export via the sea. And ships utilize specific trade routes that come along our coastline and that enter our harbors and then discharge or load new cargo. And it is the South African Navy's responsibility through the Hydrographic Office to go and chart or survey or measure the depth of the ocean, particularly when it comes to the harbor and harbor approaches, to make sure that any ship with its cargo coming in does not run aground. Without accurate hydrographic information, without accurate tidal information, without any other information that can support the mariner in arriving at his port, his final destination, safely, the cost of import and export starts to rise because insurance starts to climb, the cost thereof. So the importance of this capability cannot be understated. South Africa is one of 92 member states that belong to the International Hydrographic Organization, which is an intergovernmental organization which regulates the standards and services provided by hydrographic officers and standardizes what a nautical chart must look like and the information that must be on there. And South Africa is a very proud contributor towards this organization since 1955. The office of the South African Navy Hydrographic Office is at Silvermine at Tokai here in Cape Town, and we've been there since 1972. It's a very small office with 34 members. The ladies are included. Young men and women that perform this cartographic function to produce the nautical chart. The South African Navy also has a hydrographic survey ship, which is then tasked by my office to go out and conduct these surveys utilizing acoustic measurement devices to measure the sea floor. The more accurate we can measure the sea floor, the better information we can depict on a nautical chart, the safer the mariner is, the more cargo can come in and leave the Republic, therefore contributing towards the economy. The information that we also collect is not just for the economy, it's also for research, for environmental protection, for defense. It has a broad application, the information once it's been collected. I hope I've given some insight into the capability. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members.
Thank you, Honourable Chairman. May we proceed? Sure, thanks. Honourable Chairperson, going into the clause-by-clause overview of the bill, just before the clause-by-clause, there have been quite a number, or just a few, amendments that were reflected at the Portfolio Committee on the definitions. But mainly that was just to make changes on the names and the number of acts and all the likes. The act as it stands, Honourable Chairperson, Clause 3, it establishes the office and it provides for the office to be found and seated within the South African Navy. I must say though that during the processes of consultation, there were ideas to say it must maybe be falling within the Department of Transport. But through discussions and consultations at department level, at cluster level, the agreement was reached that rather the capability must continue to be within the Department of Defense. But also even before that, sometime in 1954, when the South African Navy took over the capability, before then, It was under the Telecommunications and Transport Department. But then ultimately, through those discussions, it was decided that the Defense Force was the proper department that this establishment could be to lie on. So clause 3, it establishes the office and it guides that the seat of the office will be within the SA Navy, which office will be determined by both the hydrographer together with the chief of the South African Navy. Honorable Chairperson, clause 4, it talks about the specific functions or what needs to be achieved by the hydrographic office. Partly as it was stated in the short video, the office must direct the collation and the compilation of hydrographic data, and make it a point that whatever information that it has, it is well researched, and it is clear, it's of integrity, to can be shared with any person that uses a particular route that are covered under the EEZ. Maybe I'll ask the captain also to explain to the committee what is the EEZ and the area that the hydrographer, South African hydrographer, covers. Something that I may call, because of lack of weight, maybe an area of jurisdiction sort of for the hydrographer.
Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, thank you. The exclusive economic zone is an area that is from the coastline of the Republic all the way extending out seaward to 200 nautical miles. And it's within that area that mining can take place and any economic activity can take place. It is the responsibility of the Hydrographic Office through the South African Navy to go and collect hydrographic data and then display this information on nautical charts. And that data can be utilized within any department within the Republic to exploit and maximize the economic benefit for the Republic. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The following clause 5, it talks to the appointment and the conditions of service, but it relates the conditions of service of the Hydrographic Office to the Defense Act, because this office is still within the department itself. Clause 6, Honorable Chairperson and members, it relates to how the office is controlled and managed. It provides that the hydrographer must govern and control the office in accordance with the Act itself, but as well as the Defense Act. So this would be the two legislations that governs the office of the hydrographer. In clause 7, there were quite a number of changes as well during the deliberations at the portfolio committee that relates to the powers and duties of the hydrographer. But mainly it was to show clearly the because what was written there was provisions that were taken from certain legislation. So we had thought that instead of reinventing our own ways, rather let us retain some of the ways that have been used somewhere else. Like if we look at clause 7, 1A,
we had stated that the hydrographer may enter at reasonable hours upon any land, beach. And we found that the acceptable term for beach is rather seashore. And we thought rather, like, let us use what has already been used elsewhere so as not to cause confusion. Internal waters, and these weights mostly they are taken from the convention itself, so that this piece of legislation must not differ from the conventions and the laws that are applicable internationally. Clause 8, it provides for the submission of hydrographic data, and there are quite substantive changes there. Initially, the draft was providing that any person who is in possession of information, and the challenge was certain individuals, more especially lay people, may not be knowing that the information that they are having is crucial to the hydrographer, and their failure to submit such information to the hydrographer is creating an offense. Then it was realized that it would not be fair to put so much strain even to individual lay people, but rather it was then suggested that the clause be crafted to say any person identified by the hydrographer. The hydrographer knows the persons that are likely to be in possession of hydrographic data. Then the hydrographer will, from time to time, by noticing the government gazette, communicate specifically to those individuals. Then those individuals, if they are found to be in possession of hydrographic data, something that is new information, and they do not consult with the office, therefore it would be much better for such an offense to be related to such persons but not to the general public. Clause 9, it provides the survey marks. The hydrographer can explain to the committee what are survey marks.
Thank you, Colonel. Honorable Chairperson and the members, survey marks are often required to establish what we call geodetic control. Geodetic control, very simply put, is the ability to fix a position on the earth. A paper chart, if I can use this as an example, if it was placed on the earth, it can rotate in any direction. But if I establish geodetic control, I pin it to the earth, it can still turn, but if I pin it further and establish control, it is now what we call georeference. It fits on the earth's surface. So every position is accurately depicted. There's no open interpretation of where it is on the Earth's surface. So the survey marks is what we would typically put in as reference points within a survey area to establish control, geodetic control.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
So then it provides that the hydrographer in trying to place these survey marks has the right of access to whatever area, but of course with consent. But then if it's without consent, then there is a process for that as well, supported by the Defense Act itself. 10, it speaks to archiving, that the Chief of the SA Navy will determine the standards, minimum standards, in relation to the archiving of all information gathered by the hydrographer. And to add something there also, Honorable Chairperson, is that the Department of Defense has its own archive, which makes then things much easier for archiving all material and documentation that relates to the department. Clause 11 provides for the copyright of all nautical publications and charts that have been produced by the Office of the Hydrographer. But of importance, it states that that the copyright vests in the state, because then the hydrographer becomes part of the state within the Department of Defense. Interestingly, Honorable Chairperson, Clause 12, it creates the limitation of civil liability. And initially the clause was providing that the hydrographer or any employee, except in the case of gross negligence or willful act or omission, bad liability. But then, because the clause looked voluminous, and it has so many commas, and when one reads it, it ends up being confusing. So it was suggested and adopted that rather it be restructured in the manner that it is currently, to say in the event of gross negligence or willful act relating to the use of nautical publication, who will be responsible when? If nautical publications were used not out of or not emanating from the South African hydrographer, then the state cannot be held responsible. So in that way, we try to control and limit liability as far as possible. Clause 18. Honorable Chairperson and members, it provides that the Hydrographic Office, the funding, that is the costs and the expenses connected to the running of the affairs of the office, must be different from monies appropriated from Parliament. But in addition to that, we thought it best that it needed to come out clear that the Office of the Hydrographer is capable of raising revenue, is capable of raising income. But unfortunately, the income raised, it goes directly into the B7 account. So then the hydrographer does not have access to the revenue collected. For example, and I know I will give the hydrographer to explain that you find that in a particular year, over a period of 12 months, the hydrographer could have used an amount of maybe about 1 million or 2 million. But in the very same year, you find that the hydrographer has collected income of about 12 to 15 million rand. Would you want to say something? Okay, thanks. All right. So even though it will require money to be appropriated from Parliament, it needs to be realized that it is in a position to generate money on its own. Clause 14, initially it was not there. It came about after intense consultation with the Department of Transport. But also with other interested stakeholders, to say there needs to be a provision that provides for cooperation and on areas of interest. and then it authorizes that the Department of Defense, together with the Department of Transport, may enter into such agreements. But also, the amendment and takes it further to open up. Then, 15, it talks to the annual reporting by the hydrographer, that the hydrographer must, within 90 days after the end of the financial year, submit a report on the activities of the hydrographic office, which will ultimately become a report of the department, and which will ultimately end up being presented before Parliament itself. And then 16 is a general clause that provides for the making of regulations by the minister. Clause 17, it's about transitional arrangements, since the office of the hydrographer is already existent. It's not like it still has to be established. Then it provides how to then collate the two and continue with the project itself. Honorable Chairperson, clause 18 is the normal short title and the commencement of the act.
Thank you, Lieutenant Colonel, for that presentation. I think the additional explanations we also received from
maybe,
the hydrographer as well.
Maybe the last thing, sorry to interject, Chairperson. The office is here in the top. But very few people may know that it's the office, and people may be passing through. Maybe if we can just show you, do you have the...
I have a video of the office.
Maybe we'll pass on that one for now. I think we're having some time constraints on our side as well. Unfortunately, our first engagement with the Department of Police took very much longer than I anticipated. But be that as it may, thank you for the presentation and for the offer. But I'm going to ask all members if they have any questions of clarity around your presentation. I think Honourable McAlucky has seems to be okay, and the girl.
No, I'm okay.
You're okay. Honourable McAlucky.
Thank you, Chair. I only have one question, and that is that the Department of Defence is probably the most neglected, one of the most neglected departments when it comes to budgets. We know it happens with the troops that we send to the Congo. They get money from the United Nations, it goes to Treasury, and it doesn't reach its way back to defence, it goes to other places. But they are left to make do with whatever breadcrumbs they get from Treasury. I don't want this to happen to your department as well, or to your unit. How do you feel about this clause with regards to the funding? Because if you generate enough funds to sustain yourself, and it goes back to Treasury or wherever, and they turn around and say, well, we have more important priorities, you end up actually generating enough to sustain yourself, plus more, but you end up getting, as part of your budget, barely enough to actually operate and function the way you're supposed to. I do not want that to happen over here. What is the current situation, and how do you feel about, I haven't read the clause now, but how do you feel about the specific clause 13 in the bill? Thank you.
Thank you very much for the question. Currently, the South African Navy funds the Hydrographic Office, and I'm fully funded. I have not had any funding constraints to date, nor have my predecessors. And the clause actually speaks towards that it gets defrayed via the department, and then it comes to the Hydrographic Office. We have initiated a process within the Naval Headquarters to engage with Treasury via the appropriate channels to have access to that funding, additional funding. So it's an internal process that must follow. But at this stage, I wish to categorically state for the record I'm fully funded. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for that. Are members, any other questions? I think in terms of the suggestion by Honourable Zadovu, do members feel comfortable to deal with the bill, or do they feel they need an additional engagement? Because I'm okay with it. In terms of the explanations we received, even by the hydrographer, it's quite a simple bill if you really think about it, and it's just addressing a gap in terms of us being a signatory.
Chairperson, may I suggest we are coming back next week to Cape Town, if I'm correct, or wherever we are going to have a meeting, perhaps for the members just to have an opportunity to just go through the bill again properly, and then it's not a long process, we can do it early next week, but I'm not particularly very comfortable to vote on anything right now. Thank you very much.
Okay, no, we're not at that point yet, Honourable Mikulakis.
I'm just stating, because you're a fairly decent chairperson, but I've seen some cowboys in the last term, so I'm just
okay.
Want to prevent.
We're undergoing a process of getting up to speed with the ball, and I think that was the point of today's session. And if members are comfortable with that, then let me thank the team that has come to make this presentation. We really appreciate, and I think it's also interesting that we're meeting our only hydrographer. It would be interesting to know what your structure is also like, but and what your transformation and succession plan is. But I think that we'll also engage further once we get to point of adopting this bill. Okay, but do you want them to respond? Okay, all right. Okay, just a quick response from you then on those matters. I think on Nita, is it in relation to that?
Yes, Chair. I was saying if we are to agree with the bill, and it's talking about a structure of the unit, it would be proper for us to have a clue how is that structure look like. And I know that they are saying that they are able to fund themselves. But also in the bill itself, clause 13 does talk about hydrographic office funding. What does then that mean? Are you expecting Parliament to budget for you? And versus what you have reported to us, that you are the unit that can be self-sustained. That's clarity on this.
I think they did cover the budget issue in terms of Honourable Mikulakis's question as well. But let us agree that you don't necessarily have to respond now. But on the issue of your structure, your budget, as well as your succession planning, I mean, we can't have one hydrographer. And as well, also around issues around transformation within this sector as well. I'm not expecting a response. What I think we're expecting is that the department through the ministry would provide us with that relevant information. On that note, thank you very much, and I'm declaring this meeting, or this part of the meeting, closed. Thanks. Members, we're going on to a third leg. Unfortunately, it's just that I don't want members to be here on Friday again, so I try to bring the meetings up on Wednesday so that Fridays you have this Friday to yourselves, given the fact that we had a very exhausting week last week. Yeah. My apologies on members, I didn't expect us to go so late. But anyway, it's still Wednesday, it's still a working day, and we continue with the process. Yeah, there's a request for Honourable Nita wants to take a longer break, but
no, he can
I'm not
take
sure
the break.
Can we take a 10-minute break? You grab
no,
something to eat
no,
or have a working
no.
lunch? We're continuing.
We are working here.
Okay. Thank you. I think we're continuing Honourable Nita.